This is Suno India production. You can now listen to all our episodes on our Android and iPhone app. Download it now.
Imagine shifting from cooking gas we use at home to electric stoves. Today I am going to talk about something that could change the way we cook in India. I am going to talk about e-cooking. Now, policymakers have been thinking about access to clean cooking options for several decades. The government of India is aiming to switch to cleaner cooking methods. This has also sparked conversations about using e-cooking, which could become a major trend. On 5th June 2023, a PIB press release said that e-cooking is going to be the future of Indian kitchens. A conference was organized in New Delhi by the Bureau of Energy Efficiency, Ministry of Power, in collaboration with CLASP, which is a non-profit that works towards energy efficiency. The conference sought to discuss strategies for the transition to electric cooking. Now, India's clean cooking problem is more severe in rural areas due to their fuel usage practices. About 500 million people in India still lack access to clean cooking solutions. According to the 5th National Family Health Survey, about 56% of the population cooks on polluting fuels like wood, biomass, animal dung cakes, agri residue, or kerosene. This results in environmental problems such as indoor air pollution, which poses serious health hazard for women, primary caregivers, and underage children. These cooking fuels are also a major global warming challenge. So is e-cooking the hero we need? Hi, I'm Sneha Richarya and you are listening to Climate Emergency. Of course, transitioning to e-cooking is not as easy as flipping a switch. There are challenges like making sure there's enough electricity and making the whole thing eco-friendly. Right now, people worry that e-cooking might actually be more polluting than using gas. The government has tried to help out by giving discounts on LPG, but still, more than half of rural households are cooking with things like wood. So even though they've handed out a lot of these LPG gas cylinders, it doesn't mean everyone switched to clean cooking. This podcast is all about figuring out if e-cooking can really be the future of Indian kitchens. Money-wise, it's interesting. The government spends a lot of money, 3.21 lakh crores in the last 10 years, to help people get cheaper gas. But e-cooking, even though it seems expensive at first, might end up being more budget-friendly in the long run. For this episode, I spoke to Noble Verghese. Noble has studied clean cooking in India and authored a paper on India's transition to e-cooking. He has previously been with the Center for Science and Environment. We are diving into the details of why some people are not keen on e-cooking. It could be the cost or maybe some traditions that get in their way. Why should we think about transitioning to cleaner cooking options, more specifically e-cooking? How are India's villages going to see this transition? Is e-cooking more polluting than LPG? Can India make e-cooking a reliable cooking option? Can e-cooking really solve the cooking puzzle in India? What could be the future of Indian cooking? Let us find out.
When we hear about e-cooking, the first thing that comes to our mind is generally these e-cooking devices, right? Rice cookers, roti makers and all. You know that the government has started to talk about a transition to cleaner cooking options, not just e-cooking, but more options that are cleaner. But you have authored a paper on India's transition to e-cooking. Can you explain the relevance of the idea in India?
Now, cooking as a problem, social problem, has been, you know, on the radar of policymakers for about a good 40, 45 years. It started off in India with the household biogas movement. Unfortunately, that did not succeed as well as should have been, ideally. Currently, according to the NFHS, which is National Family Health Survey, 45% of rural households still cook on some sort of biomass. Now, biomass means could be wood, could be forest twigs collected from forest, could be trees cut down from the forest, could be agri waste that farmers use as part of their agricultural livelihoods, or it could be also, which is common in India, cow dung, dried cow dung cakes. Yes, the Indian government has started talking about electric cooking, but clean cooking has always been on the radar. And electric cooking, I believe, is the next transition. For the last 30 years or so, 30, 40 years, LPG was the clean cooking transition. And now the next stage is e-cooking, electric cooking. So a lot of people have asked me why cooking is such a big issue that needs to be dealt with. The problem is huge, and we only understand it when we look at the numbers, the scope of the problem. We have, according to India's National Family Health Survey, we have about 45% of the population still using biomass to cook. Biomass cooking, according to my estimations, on a national level, has more emissions than India's transport sector and industrial sector. So India's industrial sector contributes about 10% of national emissions, and the transport sector contributes about 8% of national emissions. According to my estimations, and I used UNFCCC and IPCC guidelines to do these calculations, about 13 to 14% of India's national emissions can be attributed to biomass cooking. Unfortunately, this is not accounted for in India's national emissions. And this is not just India's issue. I don't think any country includes these estimations in their national emissions. Currently, India's national emissions are around 32 gigatons in a year. And biomass cooking is not even part of it. It is a major economic, social, and health problem, not to mention climate problem for India. And the only reason this has not been focused on is because there has not been any ministry or department solely focused on cooking as a whole, as a particular problem. Only MoPNG has been focused on LPG transition, but not cooking as a whole problem, where health and economic problems are also part of the issue.
This also makes me think that, is it too early to talk about it? I mean, what is the approach that, the government is taking when they are talking about transitioning to e-cooking? And by that, we understand that, as you also rightly said, that we are not there yet.
I would not call it dystopian. And I would not call it too early. One of the things is that India wants to get net zero, right? So net zero by 2070 is still about 45 years away. But net zero cannot be achieved if all of India transitions to LPG. LPG is still a fossil fuel. We need to transition to electric cooking. And the grid from where the electricity comes has to transition fully away from coal or other fossil fuel powered sources, right? The good thing is, we have time to think of a more wholesome policy instead of a policy that is being put together in a quick effort to tackle any emergencies. We have a good 30 years to think about our net zero plans and therefore transition and plan the transition away from fossil fuels and from biomass to electric cooking. So it needs three things. One, it needs behavior change on rural areas. So there needs to be, like LPG had a very good campaign in the 90s. We need something like that right now for electric in the rural areas. B, we need a roadmap for the grid to decarbonize. We need proper policies and funding. And for all the players, Ministry of Power, the DISCOMs, the various local governments to come together to decarbonize the grid. And three, we need local manufacturing for the prices of the electric cookers to come down. But better now than waiting till it's too late.
Okay. So as we know that a majority of, we are talking about Indian kitchens, right? And by this, we are also trying to understand how are Indian villages going to see this transition. This is one basic question that comes to our minds when we think about making India's transition to e-cooking. And this means that villages also need to undergo the transition. So how are we going to ensure that? Have we ensured, the kind of complete electricity access that is needed? Have we managed power cuts?
So the clean cooking problem can be divided into two sections very clearly, the urban and the rural. And as you rightly said, the rural geography is what needs focus for the problem of clean cooking. That's where the chunk of emissions. Unfortunately, even the LPG mandate has not succeeded in the rural areas, primarily being because A, the cost of LPG refill is high. B, the distribution network is not as strong as in urban areas. Electric cooking can face similar challenges. Cost is a big challenge. We can learn from our mistakes that we did in LPG while implementing the clean cooking through LPG schemes. The government does claim that 99% of India has been electrified, and that is true. The grid has reached. Unfortunately, the kind of quality of electricity required for electric cooking to succeed in rural areas has not reached most rural households. Most rural households have a load, commissioned around 500 watts, but the induction cooktops that are needed to cook generally what the foods are needed are about 1,000 watts each, 1,000 to 2,000 watts, and therefore we need higher quality power. There's also the problem of frequent power cuts in rural areas. Maybe 1 hour electricity in a day can be quantified as the village being electrified. And that obviously is not a non-negotiable. Eating times cannot be negotiated, right? So the quality of the power and the duration and the frequency of the power needs to improve drastically for rural India to be able to adopt eco. All the other challenges come later. This is the first step.
Yeah, and we'll come to the price point in a bit. But I also wanted to understand, I read in your paper that, if everyone is going to switch to e-cooking, we need a lot more electricity, which is what the paper states, that 320 gigawatt more, yeah. Right? So how are we going to generate this power? And more of what I want to understand is, what I'm sure you've interacted with a lot of people who are in the policy space, working closely with the governments. How are they viewing it? Is there some serious discussion around this?
The government is thinking along those lines. The government is coming up, or at least trying to understand the amount of capacity needed. And I know that different ministries are trying to estimate how much energy will be needed if, let's say, a certain percentage of the population switches to electric cooking. I don't think anyone has those numbers yet, or the government has put out those numbers in the public domain yet. One of the things that is needed is the decarbonization strategy for the grid, which is, like, we do have the nationally determined contribution of 50% of electricity generated will be from renewable energy sources by 2030. Now, according to estimates, currently India uses about 440 gigawatt hours of electricity in a year. And by 2030, that's going to come up to 880 gigawatt hours. Now, this does not include adoption of electric cooking in any significant form. Now, let's say 50% of 800 is still about 450 gigawatt hours. That still leaves every half of every unit of electricity consumed to be polluting. A, we have to tackle that. We have to increase our targets in a more aggressive manner. Currently, even the targets that we have right now, we are barely able to reach. Secondly, we have to include the energy requirement for electric cooking adoption. And that's why I said we need a more complex, it is a complex problem, and we need a more wholesome policy where different ministries can come together. We need a strategy for how much renewable energy sources will we need by 2030 or 2040 or 2050. So we need all of these to work hand in glove for electric cooking to succeed. And we are talking still a good 30 years away for this to succeed.
Do you think that this should be talked about after the grid has been decarbonized? It makes me think that, you know, we should kind of come to it a little later.
That is one way to think about it. But I would encourage that that it doesn't have to be one after the other. It's not a zero-sum game that only after the grid decarbonizes can we think about other options. Electric cooking doesn't have to be adopted by 100% of the population now, but it can start now. See, cooking is something that requires a lot of behavior change, especially in India, where every culture is strongly imbibed into people's food habits, and it changes every 40, 50 kilometers in any direction. And therefore, any sort of behavior change in cooking has to be able to include, okay, what kind of foods do they cook on? What kind of foods do they cook? What kind of temperatures do they need? What kind of times do they cook on? Things like that. And therefore, it is a big problem that needs a lot of time for adoption. You know, we have taken a good 30, 40 years to be able to achieve 85% coverage of LPG. LPG first started in 1955 when BBCL had introduced the first LPG cylinder for households. And we're still not 100%. So imagine how long it's going to take for electric cooking, where it's even more different than traditional forms of cooking, where there's no flame involved, where electricity has to be reliable.
So I mean, before I come to, because I read that you've written how we need a phased approach to completely kind of transition 100% into e-cooking. But before that, because you talked about climate emergency, and by which I understand climate change, that is a global problem, right? So, but I'm curious, how did it happen in the West? The West had largely kind of, I understand it's also the food habits they have, the kind of food they eat is very different from us. But how was it phased in the West, and in over how many years did that transition happen? And if you could take us through that.
So even in the West, electric cooking has not been adopted 100%. The West still uses gas and also charcoal in some places. For example, for grills and for pizza ovens, they still use wood and biomass burning fuel, cooking fuels. Although some geographies, and I might be mistaken on this, have seen 40% adoption of electric cooking. But again, in the West, they have had a lot more time to industrialize, and they have much better distribution of electricity, much more reliable distribution of electricity, and therefore, and also higher incomes, which are able to adopt novel cooking technologies more easily.
Can we come to the phased transition that you talked about in your paper?
We don't, talk about big numbers in the beginning. We just start with 1% of the population. And we are talking about an imaginary situation where, let's say, 1% of the population is adopting some form of electric cooking in the first year. And then we estimated, let's say, a 10% year-on-year growth, or a 30% year-on-year growth, or a 50% year-on-year growth. We took a timeline of about 15 years, which is still quite quick, but we just wanted to show what numbers can be achieved and what kind of money will be required in terms of subsidies, and electricity requirements will be needed in terms of national power generation. So our estimations say that about 6 lakh crores of subsidies are needed over the course of 15 years, if electric cooking is to be adopted by 100% of the population by the end of that 15 years, starting with just 1% of the population, or 0.1% of the population in the first year. That is still way, way less than the subsidies going for fossil fuels, or LPG in this case. So LPG, as you know, was heavily subsidized in the first few decades of its of its implementation. Now it's unsubsidized, but still there is a market cap on the price that OMCs, oil marketing companies like IOCL and BPCL can sell LPG to the consumer at. We estimated over the next 15 years, the amount of subsidy required for LPG, if let's say electric cooking is not adopted, LPG is pushed, it'll be 25 lakh crores. And the government can save on that. Not to mention the health burden due to biomass cooking and other problems that the national exchequer has to bear because our health system is nationalized. In terms of electricity generation, we need about 320 gigawatts of additional electricity at the end of 15 years. At the current rate of grid expansion and grid decarbonization, it's not going to be possible. We need to include these numbers into any grid expansion plans and come out with policies that are encouraging that.
Okay. And I came across, you were doing some comparison and I came across this comparison in your paper as well. So, should we understand it like this, that transitioning or, changing to e-cooking is going to be somewhat cheaper than the LPG in the long run?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So we did a comparison between traditional biomass-based cook stoves, which are prevalent in the rural areas, and obviously they are the cheapest. They are quite easy to run, and that's why most of the rural population uses that. Then we did also comparison between LPG usage and electric cooking usage. And we assumed that, any typical household over the course of 1 year, 5 years, and 10 years, we looked at three time points, uses only LPG or only electric cooking or only traditional. And how much will it cost them? We found that in the first year, electric cooking is slightly more expensive than LPG. Traditional was the cheapest, so let's keep that aside. But we are not including the health costs that come with using traditional cook stoves. But LPG was slightly cheaper than electric cooking in the first year, primarily because the cooking burner is not that expensive compared to an induction cooktop or the utensils that are needed. Now, you need ferrous utensils for induction cooktops, basically iron utensils. Aluminium and copper won't work. So that drives up the cost a little bit more than LPG in the first year. But over time, that quickly makes up and it becomes much cheaper, up to 20% cheaper in the first 5 to 10 years of using only e-cooking. So, and that is taking LPG costs at current market rates. And LPG has been increasing. We can all see the graphs, how gas prices have been increasing aggressively over the last 10, 15 years. And that will continue. Gas prices are not going to drop. They will continue to increase. Electricity prices have been more or less the same compared to average annualized household incomes. So we don't see that changing in the near to medium term future.
And I also want to kind of deviate, or rather, broaden this, because you've written a lot about cleaner cooking options, right? So, mm-hmm. I have come across these, I was talking to you about these solar powered, cooking. So could you also talk about more options that we kind of can look at other than just e-cooking powered by electricity?
Yeah, the best way to do e-cooking currently is if you in village situations or in rural geographies, you have a small mini grid, or the household has its own solar cells giving electricity into their electric cooker, and it's there. We have zero emissions and zero health problems right at the beginning. Unfortunately, that's slightly expensive, but nonetheless, better start than wait for things to get worse. And IOCL has been experimenting that. They have done pilot test programs of an electric cooker that they developed indigenously in their own R&D lab. It's slightly different. It does not have a traditional induction top. or a traditional burner of that sense. It is connected with solar cells, solar panels. And it has a special alloy that they've developed that is able to retain heat for up to 7 to 8 hours. And they're able to cook rotis also. They demonstrated this successfully at the India Energy Week last year in February. So that is one novel solution. Unfortunately, it is slightly expensive. They have released it in the market for sale, and a single burner option, if I'm not mistaken, is about 14 to 15,000 rupees. A double burner option is somewhere around 30 to 35,000 rupees. And, you know, compared to Indian households where we buy an LPG cooktop for about 800 to 1200 rupees for an average middle income family, that is out of bounds for an average middle class family, let alone a rural family. We need to start somewhere, and that definitely is a start. We also need to look at other forms of local development for making induction cooktops cheaper and less power consumed. Currently, induction cooktops are somewhere between 1,000 watts to 2,000 watts, which again is quite high for an average Indian middle-class household's energy consumption.
Do you also think that there is some technology advancement needed in the area where we talk about unique cooking habits, eating habits of Indians, because we rather cook things that take a lot of time, and you know, it is very complicated. Certain things are very complicated to cook, and probably the technology that we have right now, or probably is used in the West, is not suited for that. So, have you come across during the course of your study anyone who could take us through that technology requirement that is needed?
So, Sneha, that was the assumption that I had when I began researching on this paper. And the initial stories or anecdotal evidence that I found was that, you know, the electric cooktops that are prevalent in the West are not going to be suited for India. We can't cook rotis on it. We can't fry papads. A lot of things came to the fore. But as I dug deeper, I found that that is not true. A traditional roti requires about 400 to 800 degrees Celsius of flame temperature, and current induction tops are easily able to reach 700 degrees Celsius. So rotis are quite doable. A lot of the stuff that that Indians cook now, that's a very broad term. North India cooks very different from East India, which cooks very separate from South India. So we have a variety of food habits, but most of them can be done on electric cookers. So East India and South India have rice as a major staple food, and that is easily taken care of by electric rice cookers. So that's already prevalent in the market, and that's already adopted quite highly in India. North India needs a lot of high flame temperature foods, which again can be done with current technologies. The only thing is the chimneys that will be needed in the West, because we use a lot of masala, that might not work in India. We will need some other sort of ventilation. But it is completely doable. The only problem is behavior change. That is the root problem, because some people might like the taste of the burnt charcoal on their food, on their rotis, which might not be possible on induction cooktops or electric cooktops. So it's more of a behavior problem than a culture.
We were talking about certain examples, you know, these socio-cultural factors that, you know, might play some role in this or might impact the pace of adoption to e-cooking or rather clean cooking solutions. So what could you take us through a couple of examples that you came across during the study?
Some of the stories or some of the socio-cultural problems were quite typical of India and also quite insightful, and something that has not been in the focus of policymakers. For example, there was this NGO who was trying to distribute clean cook stoves in a rural village in Karnataka. And so some of the villages that they went to, there was both upper caste and lower caste living in those villages. And they were distributing for free these clean cook stoves. But the upper caste families objected to the lower caste families receiving the same thing that they were getting. That particular NGO had to sit down with the sarpanch very closely. You know, they had to negotiate. In another case, the sarpanch flatly refused for the households of the village to receive the cook stoves, even though the village households were open to it. I'm not sure if that problem was solved, but these are some of the issues that we face in any kind of clean cooking solution.
Also, from traditional cooking options to the shift from there to the LPG was, in fact, you know, it was supported by a lot of government subsidies. Government had done a lot to kind of promote that kind of a diversion. So, I mean, when I talk about the price point here, which is a big factor why people might not choose it, and also they don't have any incentives as such to do that. So, I mean, how do we see it in terms of financial institutions being able to help it? And also, what the government, what kind of incentives is the government planning to make to kind of help this transition?
Yeah. So you're very right. LPG could not have succeeded without the very heavy subsidies given towards the beginning of the program and without the market cap on the LPG prices, which are still holding the LPG prices at a certain limit. Also, the Prime Minister Ujjwala Yojana, which was initially called the Rajiv Gandhi Gram LPG Vitran Yojana, launched by the Congress government in 2009 and then renamed and relaunched by the present government in 2016, that has heavy subsidies where the initial cost is just rupee one, and then the first two cylinders are free, and every subsequent cylinder refill is subject to the same market price, which currently is around 1,000 rupees per 14.2 kg cylinder. There are two aspects to e-cooking subsidies. One is the electric cooktops themselves and the electric utensils, and that is a one-time thing. That doesn't need to happen every time. The second aspect is the electricity subsidies. Electricity right now is subsidized in two places in India, Delhi and Tamil Nadu. And therefore, they are good case studies where we could test and see if electric cooking adoption can be successful or how long can it be successful or what trajectory it will take. The other places, DISCOMs are mostly privatized, and therefore, although there are policies regulating tariffs, but at present current electricity prices, electric cooking is hard to justify because the prices are not cheaper than LPG in the first year. In 5 years' time, yes, they do get cheaper. So right now, an LPG burner costs somewhere, as I said, between 800 rupees to 1200 rupees for a cheap one, for a good quality one, about 2000 rupees for a two burner LPG cooktop, and an induction cooktop, a single burner or single top electric induction cooktop costs somewhere between 2 to 4,000 rupees. If you want a two burner one, there's only one in the market by Prestige, and that's about 8,000 rupees. So we could need subsidies on that. And also, if we have more subsidies on electricity, that would help. Definitely, that would help a lot. We estimate about 50% subsidy would be useful in the first year of usage. In the first year of usage of electric cooking, if 50% of electricity costs can be subsidized. Now, because electricity is distributed by DISCOMs, the ministry or the government can work with DISCOMs to come out with a model where the electric cooktop is free in the first year and the subsidized price is incorporated into the electricity bills. There have been models done by different projects in Kenya and Nairobi where this has been successful. We could look at similar models. One thing is, if the grid becomes decarbonized, which means more and more wind and solar is incorporated into generation, that automatically drops the prices of electricity. Currently, solar generated electricity is some of the cheapest in the world. And we could see benefits, dual benefits, if the grid is decarbonized, both emissions perspectives and national commitment perspective, but also cost perspective. And that will have multiple domino effects of other industries becoming electrified, like cooking, for instance, and therefore more emission savings and climate problem saved.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi said that we are aiming for net zero by 2070 at COP26 in 2021. Now, the big question is, how is the government putting money into cleaner cooking? There are some new moves suggesting a shift, like the Go Electric campaign by the Bureau of Energy Efficiency in 2021 and a subsidy scheme by Energy Efficiency Services Limited for the inclusion of cook stoves in 2023. Prime Minister Modi even gave a thumbs up to an e-cook stove by Indian Oil Corporation in 2023. So it seems that the government is eyeing electric cooking for cleaner kitchens. But here's the twist. At the same time, they are still pushing for more people to use LPG. Some states even offer LPG subsidies, like Telangana giving a cylinder for ₹500 and extra money to farmers for paddy procurement. Now, e-cooking is a different game. Even though it's cleaner and simpler, figuring out how the government handles this tricky shift is the real deal.